Hello, thank you for joining us on live stream. This is, of course, the first time we've done it this way before. It's just me in the auditorium. But I know that we're happy that you've joined us. Of course, it's a little more casual here, and I'm guessing it's a little more casual there. I do not have my suit on. I don't think anyone there at home, just a minute. No, it doesn't look like anyone there at home has their suit on. As a matter of fact, some of you looks like you're still in your pajamas. And some people maybe just finished a little breakfast. You still have a little bit of jam. Okay, all right. You're looking good. We're just going to do a shorter version of a lesson today, and I hope that it can be a blessing and an encouragement to whoever watches this. This will be available online not just today, but it will be stored in the archive for you to be able to, if you want, listen to again later or to share with your friends. Today I want to talk a little bit about our relationship with God, and that has to do with faith, and perhaps that ties in a little bit of what has been going on in the recent days and the concern that we have regarding our faith and really where is God and how much do we trust God through the difficulties and challenges of life. And so I want to talk about faith. Hebrews chapter 11 is one of the great faith chapters that speaks a lot of the men and the women that have gone on before, and that they are the faithful people, and examples are given, many people listed there of their faith and how they endured and how they suffered, sometimes even through difficulties and challenges and overcoming their doubts and their fears. And that's a great lesson for us as well. Now, as an introduction to this idea of this witness protection in our society, sometimes we have people that get on the witness stand in order to make a statement of something that they've seen or something that they know about, that brings some evidence into the courtroom so the jury and perhaps even the judges can make a better decision about what's really going on. The more witnesses we have, the better decision can be made, and we can understand what is really happening, what the truth is, and the things that we can really rely upon. And so that's what Hebrews chapter 11 is really about, is this idea of the witnesses that would come forward. Now, just before we get to Hebrews chapter 11, at the end of chapter 10 is kind of the introduction to Hebrews chapter 11. And there it says, but my righteous one will live by faith, and I take no pleasure in the one who shrinks back. So here, the Hebrew writer is reminding us of a statement that was mentioned hundreds of years earlier about this righteous one will live by faith. The Hebrew writer mentions this verse. So does Paul in Romans chapter 1 in verse 17 and 18. He discusses this idea of the righteous will live by faith. Paul also mentions it in Galatians chapter 3. That the righteous one will live by faith. And so it kind of is this reinforcement of something that we already know about this righteous one will live by faith. Now, faith is something where we put our confidence and our assurance in another person. And we do that all the time. In the picture here behind this verse is a picture of a man who was a tightrope walker, perhaps about 100 or 150 years ago. And he was a man who was very talented and very gifted in the ability of walking across the tightrope. Charles is this man, and he was in Niagara Falls. And he quite often would cross that gorge across the Niagara River, really close to the falls. And the crowds would gather, and they would be amazed at what he was able to do. And after a while, of course, it got a little boring that he would just walk across. They were used to that. So sometimes he would walk across blindfolded. One time he walked across backwards. At one time he carried his manager on his back while he crossed the tightrope. The story is told that one day he took a wheelbarrow and crossed the Niagara Gorge on the tightrope. He walked across and he walked back. And when he returned to the masses of people that were there watching him, he asked them if they believed that he could walk with the wheelbarrow across the Niagara Gorge with someone in the wheelbarrow. And they all applauded and they all cheered and they all agreed and they all believed that he could. But then his next question is, who wants to get in the wheelbarrow? And that was a real test of faith, because not only is it a faith that is something people say or something that people agree with, but it was actually something that they would do, that they would demonstrate they had this kind of faith in a tightrope walker. And perhaps he was one who had already proven himself as one who was able to succeed and was very gifted and very talented in this ability. So the idea is living by faith. Sometimes we get the idea that faith is something we just talk about. Faith is something that we just do on a Sunday. Faith is something we do in a moment in time. Where in fact this says that the one who lives will walk by faith or live by faith. So it's a continuous action. It's something we do all the time. And that's where sometimes it's difficult for us, because our faith can sometimes be challenged. Perhaps it's easier for us to have faith in God when things are going well, when our health is at its prime, where when we are able to work and able to feel comfortable and able to have security, and there's a lot of things that can happen in our life where things go well. Well, we trust in God and we believe in God and we will serve God. But what about the times of uncertainty? What about the times where we don't know how this is going to end up? We don't know what the future holds, and we never really do anyway. But when things go well, it's sometimes easy just to say we are good in faith. But when we are challenged, sometimes that's when our faith sometimes can get weak. And so that's where we get back to Hebrews chapter 11, where people show and demonstrate their faith. Well, this idea of this, that the righteous will live by their faith, is found originally back in the Old Testament book of Habakkuk in chapter 2 in verse 4. And there it says, "Behold, his soul is puffed up. It is not upright within him, but the righteous will live by faith." And here God is foretelling the future to Habakkuk, that one day a nation is going to come in and they are going to take over and they're going to destroy the land of the people of Israel. And they're going to take captives. And things are going to completely be turned upside down. And certainly Habakkuk had a lot of concern and fear, and even questions about what God's plan was really all about. And through chapter 2, I think it's almost describing how people are going to respond to this. I mean, a lot of people are going to be upset. They're going to be afraid. Some people are going to go further into immorality. They're going to go further into, for instance, drinking and drunkenness, because that's the way they're going to respond to such news and such tragedy. But here he's saying, but those people that are righteous, those people that are upright, those people that are seeking God, they are going to continue to live by their faith, what they have learned to trust in. And so this is the idea that we continue to grow in our faith, perhaps in the times where things are easier, the times are calm, the times are a time where we can flourish and grow and our faith can be multiplied, so that when the times of difficulty and challenge and discouragement and questions, when that happens, our faith is already strong. We've already planted seeds. We already have deep roots and we're able to hang on. So Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 39 says, "But we do not belong to those who shrink back and are destroyed, but to those who have faith and are saved." And so we are ones that, you know, when these things happen, we don't give up, right? We don't get weak. We don't start to fall apart. Instead, we are ones that continue on in the faith that we've already developed. And that's where we get to Hebrews chapter 11. And he's going to describe how God has been so faithful for so many years in the lives of so many people, that God has been faithful to his word. He's been faithful to his character and to his nature. He's been faithful to his creation. God has done what he has been able to do to demonstrate his faithfulness, his purity and his love and his concern in the words that he's spoken and in the people that he's chosen and just his divine purpose and providence and his nature have all been revealed through times past. And so therefore we can get strength for the future. Just like the picture shows here. I know there's many people that have flown on airplanes. And it's just amazing for us to think, if you go to the airport and you actually watch airplanes take off, this big winged piece of metal filled with people and thousands of pounds and how it's even able to fly. And yet, because we have faith, we're able to get in that and maybe with relative little fear, we're able to believe that this is going to be able to take off. It's going to fly thousands of miles and take us to the destination. And we have faith. Why do we have faith in that? Because this is not the first time someone has ever flown on an airplane. They've been flying for years. There's been literally hundreds of thousands, perhaps millions of flights that have been carried out through the years and through the world. And so we have faith based on past performance. For instance, a lot of times we get on the plane, I've never really done this before, to say, I would like to personally meet the pilot. I'd like to talk with the pilot. I'd like to find out his background. I'd like to know his credentials. I'd like to know how well he did in flight school. I want to know how many flights he's actually done. How many near misses? Perhaps how many crashes? I just need to know everything about. We don't even do that. We just get on a plane in faith, believing that it's going to take us to our destination and we're going to land okay. Because it doesn't sound like a very nice vacation if we're halfway through and the plane crashes somewhere. That's not my idea of an ideal vacation. And yet we do this all the time. People do this every day to get on planes and fly all over the world. Why do we do that? Because it's based on past performance. And this is what the Bible's telling us about our faith. It can be grounded and established and confident based on the things that have happened in the past. And again, we do this sometimes even in the medical world. Maybe we have a surgery that needs to take place. Well, we have a doctor that we really don't know that well. Maybe we can look him up online and figure out how long he's been practicing and where he went to school and a little bit of his background, but we don't know him that well to say, hey, you can put me out, you can stop my heart, you can fix things up, get my heart started again, and I'll be happy with that. I'm confident, I'm comfortable, I'm fearless going through this. Why do we do that? Because the assumption is the doctor has a lot of experience. And he's got a good track record. And we're able to make a decision based on what he has done in the past, how it's come out in the past, and that makes us solid for the future surgeries that we have coming up. This is the same thing with God, that we look to him, we trust him, because he is one who has proven he is trustworthy and that he is faithful in all that he has done. And so when we talk about Hebrews chapter 11. Chapter 11 is about all the people of faith. But now we get to chapter 12. So chapter 12 is kind of you'd almost think that this would be connected to chapter 11 because he's saying, therefore, since we've just read all these people in chapter 11, and it's not about the people and their faithfulness, it's about God and his faithfulness. Since we've read about how faithful God is and what happens when faithful people do put their faith in a faithful God, when we read that, therefore, since we're surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses. Well, sometimes I read that and I think they're witnesses like almost you'd see at a football game. You've got some people there on the field, running around, throwing the ball, trying to get a touchdown. But in the stand, there's all these people looking on, they're cheering on, they're there wanting their home team to win, they're there anticipating victory, and they're trying to encourage them along. Now, maybe that's the kind of witnesses that we have right now, that there's even people in heaven that through their actions, maybe they're not literally watching us like they would from a stand, but through their actions, they've given us courage, they've given us strength, and they've given us confidence for the days ahead. But maybe more than that, maybe it's more like a witness stand when you go to court and you've got some information that we need to find out what's true, what's not true, so we call witnesses to the witness stand. Therefore, since we're surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, since there's so many people that have showed and they've stood on this stand and said, this is who God is, let us throw off everything that hinders. So here we have a picture in the courtroom. There's the picture of the witness box. And so what we have to do now is we have to call the first witness into the witness box so he can tell us about God and his relationship with God, his dealings with God, and how God has been faithful. And so it'd be like this. We call the first witness in, and here he shows up from the Old Testament. Now, maybe it was somebody like Noah. Maybe it was somebody like Moses. Maybe it was somebody, one of the other of the many that are listed, and the many, many that are not even listed in Hebrews 11, witnesses from the Old Testament. That's why there's so much power and strength from us reading the Old Testament. People say, well, we don't follow the Old Testament anymore. We don't follow those commands and all of those festivals and all of those dietary laws. Why do we even read the Old Testament? Well, we read it to find out how faithful God is, how kind and loving, and how patient and gracious, how forgiving and accepting, and how much he loves his people. But also how faithful God is to his word. When he says, I'll bless you, he'll bless them. And when he says, if you go the wrong way, you're going to be cursed. That's what happens. They will be cursed because they have not been faithful to God. But God is always faithful. He's always faithful to himself. He's always faithful to his word. And he's always faithful to us. And so over and over again, these people come and they sit on the witness stand and they give testimony to who God is and God's faithfulness and God's work in their lives to give us courage for our lives. And then he goes on to say this, and the sin, it's the sin that so easily entangles. Now the sin could be anything that tries to shake our faith, tries to loosen us up, tries to make us doubt, tries to make us fear, and then we question God, and then we wonder, well, maybe I need to handle this a different way. Not God's way, there's somebody else who's giving me advice, somebody else who wants me to listen to what they have to, there's a book that maybe I could read, or there's somebody else who, you know, they've turned to a different way, and if I can follow them, no. We've got to learn from the people of the past. When we continue to follow God, that things are going to work out just as God has promised. And so we run the race with perseverance. See, the race is going to be hard. There are going to be challenges, there's going to be difficulties, there's going to be questions. But we continue to run. We continue to persevere. Because we know, as we keep on the path, we keep on the track, we keep following Christ, and we're not going to get into the rest of the verses, but then it talks about Jesus. He was the forerunner. He's gone on before us, so we follow in his path, in his steps. We've seen how God was faithful to him, and Jesus was faithful to us. And we need to continue to run this race that's marked out before us. This is what God is calling us to. And this is why God has provided so much information, so many witnesses, so much testimony about what faith is really about and why we can put our full confidence in God. So that indeed, if God does come to us and says to us something like, you know, will you get in the wheelbarrow while I push you across the tightrope? We will say, based on what I've seen, I know you can do it. And even though I may have some concerns and some questions, I'm willing to submit. I'm willing to follow you and to listen. And I'm willing to give up all my ideas and all of my fears and all of my concerns because I trust God. So we're living in difficult days. We're living in times where we don't know what tomorrow is going to be. We don't know where we're going to be. But we know that God has all things under control. And so we continue to trust him, believe in him. Our faith is firmly anchored in him. So when you do read Hebrews chapter 11, have an understanding they're just not stories. It's not just stuff that happened in the past. It's not just history. It's written to give us confidence in God. It's written to give us encouragement. Because yes, Hebrews 11 has people that they ran the race and they trusted in God. Were they perfect? No. Did they have questions? Yes. Sometimes doubts? Yes. Did they sin? Yes. But they still continue to persevere and press on to go in the right direction, and God continued to bless them. My prayer is that we would continue to grow in our faith, trusting in God, because He is the one who can be trusted. And our confidence and our assurance would continue to be multiplied in what this is. So Hebrews chapter 11. We're not going to go through the whole chapter, but the first verse may be helpful as we consider what the future holds. Now, faith is being sure of what we hope for, and it's being certain of what we do not see. Why can we be sure, and how can we be certain? Because God is faithful, and so we're willing to listen to Him, to learn from Him, and to follow Him. That's where faith is. Faith, we don't have faith in faith, because you can have a lot of faith in something that's not trustworthy. And that's really going to end up in a lot of problems and struggles. It's going to end up in disaster, really, if we have a lot of faith in something or in someone that is not trustworthy. We shouldn't be putting that much faith in them. But you know, if you even have a little bit of faith and you put it in the one that is faithful and the one that is trustworthy, that can go a long way. How many times did Jesus say, if you just have faith the size of a mustard seed, you have no idea what can happen. You have no idea the power that is available. You have no idea where that road is going to lead. You have no idea what the outcome is going to be. Just have faith, a little bit of faith in God, because He is faithful, will multiply and will go the distance. And so this is what the Hebrew writer is saying, that we can have this kind of faith, this assurance, this conviction of the reality of who God is and what God is doing, and that His promises are sure. Let's pray as we close. Thank You, Lord, that You do love us, that You are a God who has proven every time that You are faithful. You have proven every time that You are loving, and You have proven every time that You are a kind and gracious and forgiving God. We pray that our faith will grow. We pray that we can encourage each other in our faith. We pray that we can even remember the times in our own life where You have been faithful to us and through us. And we pray that our faith may grow. We pray that our faith, we can share that with others so that they too can have faith in something that is certain, something that is sure, something that is trustworthy. And so we thank You so much that You've revealed Yourself to us and You've blessed us. May You continue to be with us this day and this week. Be with all of our members. Be with all of those people we love. And be with all of those people that we will come in contact with, that we can share with them the good news of Jesus Christ. In His name we pray. Amen. Thank you again for joining us. We hope that we'll be able to do this again soon. But better than that, I hope that one day we'll be able to be together, all together in the church, where we can see each other and encourage each other in the name of Jesus. Amen.